Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, June 7th. We're back with you. Tori's back.
Heyo.
Hi, Tori.
Hi.
Sporting a hat this morning.
Yes, you're welcome. I have a little bit of bedhead. You don't want to see what's under here.
Why? What happened?
It's just really messy. But also, I got my hair dyed, and it's like a blonde.
Okay.
But it's blonde.
It's very blonde.
It's bordering on a sunset orange.
Oh, wow. So we have to wait for it to...
I don't know what we're doing. I think I need to call the salon is what we're doing after this.
Isn't that the worst, though? I know, man. It's like once they do the color, that's it.
It's almost a burnt sienna. No, I'm kidding. It's just a strong... You don't want to go brassy when you're blonde. If you're a blonde listening, you understand. That orange is like such a tight light. You know, you want golden, but you don't want... It's like a marshmallow when you're making us some more.
Yeah.
Man, I think I went overburnt. I got overburnt.
Oh, well, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, so you're hiding,
you can wear a hat.
You're hiding it with a hat. There you go. So how you doing?
I'm doing very, very well.
Very good.
Yes.
Did you notice the June gloom we have outside?
Oh, my God.
That's what
constant.
They call it. And we know we're always going to get that, which is early morning clouds, and then it brightens up and the sun comes out and everything, but you never know what to wear in weather like this. You know, it's cold and then it's
hot. It's why I wear sweatpants at all times. No, I'm just
kidding. I see. Okay, then you can put them on and off. Okay.
Totally. But I do think when people don't know that, don't come to LA. It's not beach weather in June.
No, not beach weather.
You would think it is.
Yeah, I went to the beach early on Sunday because I wanted to beat the crowd. I get there at like 10, 11. And everything is overcast. I'm like, it's fucking cold here.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I didn't come for this. And you know what? It took
I
me
like
forever.
How you're mad.
It took me forever to get me to put my my bike rack on the car and load the bike on and all that stuff. I've been putting it off because I don't like the process. But it only takes 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I was like, is it a long process?
No, not really.
I know what you mean.
But, you know, you don't want to scratch the car and then blah, blah, blah. You don't want to hurt your back.
Hey.
So, because those things have happened to me in the past. So, yeah, I go to the beach and, you know, noon comes around. It's still very overcast. I'm like, this is not what I came here for. I wanted color, not gray.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's cool. You take your bike to the beach. You ride. Venice was cool. A lot of... shit happening there as always.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, do you go there sometimes?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's fun, huh?
I mean, I just like it. My mom was like, I took my mom, which was the worst decision of my life. My mother, if you don't know, is a very cultured, highly educated, somewhat snobby, really, just a really incredibly smart and interesting person. And I was like, hey, let's go to Venice Boardwalk. So she went with my dad and she was like, no,
this is not for her.
And she didn't dislike it, but it was not for, she also doesn't like things like Disneyland, which I love.
Yeah,
because it's a little artificial for her. And I'm like, who cares? Life sucks. I'm going here.
Well, if she's a 5-star traveler, then yeah, going to Venice is not.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. So anyway.
Well, everybody loves Venice, you know, for the most part. But
yeah,
she didn't feel
she's
she
the
belonged,
one
yeah.
part of this situation that she.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah.
But you know, she.
What parts of LA did she like?
Beverly Hills. She loves West Hollywood,
yeah.
And she loves Silver Lake. Loves Silver Lake.
Really?
That's a really cool artsy place. But she really does like bohemian artsy. But she doesn't like crazy artsy.
Right.
So people were like shouting at her on the Venice Boardwalk, and I was like, this was a terrible mistake. So it was just a bad plan.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? Oh, I read you're doing comedy tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. My God,
yes,
I always forget. Just
because
like you.
I don't forget
you're
that
so
though.
Cute.
Because
you're so amazing. Yes. I'm closing the comedy store, which means I'm going last at the main room.
Is that a good thing?
That's a very good thing.
Okay.
So the higher
everybody
up you go,
waits for you.
Right. And if you go out first, and trust me, honey. I have gone out first, and it is terrible. Really? People are ordering nachos, and you are trying your hardest. No one's listening. Wow. No one's tipsy. No one's relaxed. True, right? No one's warmed up. It's just awful.
Right, and then they forget you at the end, too.
No one knows who you are. So much. Yeah, so at the end, you are a superstar, even though it's just because you're the last person, and they're all drunk. Like, that's fantastic for me, though.
Yeah. Do you know how many comics are going to be there?
Probably nine or ten. Yeah, it's and there's no host. It's going to be tag team, so super fast. All chicks, pretty funny women, all hot chicks too. I'll send you the poster.
Well, Casey and I are coming. So yeah, plan baby. On that, man. Yes. I just hope we don't jinx it with that crowd. That
don't talk about it.
I won't.
Don't.
Okay.
You're but jinxing it.
But I've never been to the Comedy Store. Is that where you're going to be?
Hell yeah.
Okay. I've never been there, so I would like to go very much.
The bar outside is awesome because you can sit outside. You can smoke if you want.
Oh,
which
really?
Is great for you. And okay, really great. Funny, cool singles hang out there right after shows.
Oh, well, that's so, where I belong,
yes,
man.
Yes, I think you
what
should
What am
hang
I
out
doing
there.
Here?
Yeah. Get out there, boo-boo. Just get yourself out there.
Wow.
So it's at 8:30 if you guys want to come, and it should be fun. I haven't done it in a while. I feel nervous, but I feel like I'm on a good momentum.
Right. And I think, you know, on the heel of everybody else, I think by then you're warmed up. Yeah. You'll feel good. You know?
You'll laugh because I walk out on stage funny. Like, it's great.
Really?
Going last is just so much easier. Yeah. So it's great. It's like kind of it's such a big advantage.
Yeah. Do you ever drink before you go on?
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's a mistake.
Yeah. Right. I mean, don't you get confused or
no,
forget things?
Never.
You don't.
No, but
so
I do.
You're
don't.
A good
but
functioning
I'm not. Oh,
drinker.
Very. And I'm a happy person when I'm tipsy. Very generous. And what I really like in stand up is some people like the stage to be like Chris Rock. He's on stage and performing to an audience. Right.
Right.
I prefer to be. Like we're all at a bar together. Like we're all sitting at a bar together.
Oh.
I just like the feeling better. So I don't like the separation of stage and audience. Some comics love that. So I just don't. So I like to get out there and like I'm like my first thing, I'm like, let's raise a glass and that brings instantly the room together. And
that's
I'm
true.
On everybody's page. However, you also should be very sharp as a comic. It looks like we're all sort of coming up with these things or we have those lines and words absolutely memorized.
Really?
Like
wow.
Words are so important. Some words are funnier than others.
Even when it looks like they ad-libbed, it's probably pre-scripted.
Yeah,
huh?
And some people do ad-lib great, but some people have that set down like to the and there's an in there or a break. That is completely something you've done a million times before.
Yeah.
Because you have to. So when you drink, it gets a bit fuzzy.
Yeah.
And you can feel it. It's not as good.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to be mature and an adult in this new part of my life. So
you seem trying like it's really hard.
It is. Yeah. I'm a very big, I really do feel like I'm like I have a kid at heart. I love to play. I like to, I do. And I need to grow up. And not do that because my comedy would suffer if I kept doing it. So it sharpens me when I'm sharp, as the dumbest thing I've ever said. But
right.
You got to be sharp. But you, I need to be loose. I don't mind having like a beer.
Right.
But if you have like a you know couple glasses of wine,
but you're not going to get drunk or too tipsy or anything.
You don't want to go there. And I've seen it happen. I've been there, and like it's not fun. It's
just
a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Make a joke out of yourself if you start screwing up.
Yeah, and you really don't want to get that reputation. Really, you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was that guy doing up there drunk and shit? You know,
yeah, I've never been
funny?
There, but...
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm always hilarious. No, I'm
yeah, okay, well, that's what we're looking forward to.
Yes.
You know, we want to see an audience that will actually... Are you going to do the same set, or do you have new stuff?
Some different stuff. I have some new stuff, too.
Yeah, like I really remember, right?
Yeah, right.
If you told it a million times, it'd still laugh like it was the first time.
That's right.
Do you see? That's how cool it is to be like Dory.
Yeah, baby. I have no short-term memory. My favorite line of Dory, do you remember this? She goes, if you guys don't know more time about it, it's the fish from Finding Nemo.
Right, who can't remember shit.
She has no short-term
seconds.
Memory
right.
in her brain. So she says, oh, yeah, it runs in the family. And then she goes, huh. Where are they?
Yeah, right.
I don't remember.
No, I do because I just watched it the other night.
I love it. Where
for the first
are
time.
They? Oh, she's so cute.
Yeah, and the graphics are just amazing.
Beautiful.
To me. That's how I watch these movies because early on when animation was coming out, I was involved with it. So to see it, having it progress to this, and think about it, like when they first did Finding Nemo, it was the first animated movie that Pixar did like underwater.
I was going to say it was all about the water.
Right, and think of animating water, nothing is still.
No, I know.
Everything's moving. So, wow, you know, that's all I could say.
So you saw Finding Nemo when?
Well, I saw Finding Nemo when it came out.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm just saying when it did.
Yeah. Oh, it's
that was
beautiful.
The first time that they had to do like underwater animation, and I remember reading how difficult it was. Because nothing stays still, you know?
Nothing. And it was just breathtaking because we hadn't seen things like that. I remember going to see Beauty and the Beast, and it was the first time they had done a 360-degree camera in animation for that big ballroom scene.
Right.
And I remember being like, whoa, dude.
Right? And you see, that was done in 3D animation, and although they put it in a 2D animated movie.
I see. But so that's how they got that.
That's how they started experimenting with 3D animation in the traditional cell animation.
I see. Well, it was great.
And now everything's 3D, you know, like a Pixar movie. It's not the flat ones anymore.
No.
And because they managed to really be able to tell stories with computers. You know, up until then, it was always like you think of computers as like hard and cold. But then Toy Story came out and everybody's like, wow.
And why do you think it's so interesting? They purposely had inanimate objects coming to life with characters. So you're now like, you see toys and computers in a different way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know. In a couple of minutes, we're going to call our guest in Ireland, Tori.
Oh, my Lord. And, so many stores.
Yes. And a very interesting person. So we're going to talk to him in just a minute. We already established the connection, so all I'll have to do is call on Skype here. Those animated movies are awesome.
Oh, I saw Wonder Woman.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
And?
Sam, it's fantastic.
Really?
O-M-F-G.
Really?
I loved it. Everybody I've talked to loved it. Everybody. It's just a great film.
Really?
It's the highest box office for directed by a female ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
It was just awesome.
That's cool.
Chris Pine was awesome. The graphics were awesome. The
good.
Fight
I'm
scenes
I'm
were awesome.
Because you know what? Lately, all these superhero movies,
I don't get into them.
Oh,
honey, I am over that. I don't even go see Superman. I mean, I really can't.
Right.
I have to as a pop culture. I am not interested. Here's where I went because I heard really rave reviews, okay?
Right.
The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, all of these newspapers were like, go see it.
Oh.
I go and see it. What a story. The acting, it was fantastic.
Really? Good.
Fantastic.
Good. Then maybe, did it have less to do with like science fiction and stuff?
Very
this
much,
was
much
more
less.
Like in the past.
Yeah,
right?
It's
like
an Amazonian woman with all Amazons on an island, and it's all warriors. And for the first 30 minutes, it's awesome women fighting and learning about their culture, and then she goes up. But there's no science. It takes place in
World War II, though.
Yeah, World War II.
World War I. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, I think it's World War I.
Yes.
And it is just beautifully shot. It's well directed. The acting is phenomenal. It's funny as hell. It's
really?
So funny. Chris Pine is a delight.
Really?
So she killed it. So you should go. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I was with a. I wish I'd been with a group of people that cheered like when the woman does something good, because apparently that's what's happening. I went with like in a matinee and everyone was like, yay. And I was like, wow. I was the only one screaming. But it's just delightful.
Good.
Yeah.
Good to see.
It was like a good movie in a summer movie finally. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's call our guests now. I'm going to call them overseas. And thank goodness for Skype, man, because you can connect with people in no time way across the ocean.
Isn't that like a phone?
It is, but it's much cooler than that. Chris Toretto, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
Hi.
Yes. Good morning to you, Chris. Thank you for joining me and Tori.
Yeah, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, so you said we were calling you in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Where in Ireland are you?
It's like 6:15 here at the moment in the evening.
Yeah, in the evening. Oh, okay, so we didn't have to wake you or anything. That's cool.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Now, what place, what city in Ireland are you in, so we can get an idea?
Originally from Belfast.
Nice. Okay. Is that where you were?
No, I wish I'd gone to Belfast. So I just came back from Ireland and a wedding, and I was in County Kerry in Castle Cove.
Do you know what that
yeah,
is?
That's Southern Ireland, yep.
Yeah, Southern Ireland in the middle of nowhere, and it was gorgeous, and goats would come to my car.
Wow.
Cheap.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Good. So is that where you grew up, Chris, in Belfast? outside Belfast?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. Just outside the capital city itself.
I see.
I grew up in a very rough estate.
Wow. And we understand you had a pretty rough childhood. We'll get to that in just a moment. But tell us what it is that you do currently.
I'm a professional actor.
Okay. And so what kind of acting? Theater, TV, movies? What do you prefer?
Both TV and films. Movies would be my main thing, so it would, definitely.
Sounds good.
Nice.
Wow. So, I mean, we were reading up a little bit on you, and first of all, I looked you up, and, you know, I'm looking at, and you can see this guy that's, is that you, the totally tattooed guy?
That's me.
Yeah, okay. Baby.
All right. You,
I'm the one with the very distinctive look.
Yeah. Well, you look mean, but you can see, I don't know, I'm looking at the picture, I'm saying this is like a nice guy that looks mean.
I think tattoo people are the nicest people I've met ever. Bikers and tattoo people, they are the nicest people and human beings I've ever met.
Wow.
I really like you. I really like you. I swear to God.
Attitude. I think they are. And they're teddy bears, I think, at heart.
Yeah, yeah. We're all big hearts. Yeah. That's all it is. Like, we're just with the tattoos cover up. We try to look tougher than we are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true, right?
That's right. That's what I thought.
So is that the tattoo something that started early on in your life? Because it must have taken a while.
Basically, like, with me growing up, kind of in an abusive home, I've got a few scars on my body.
Wow.
Really?
And when I got older, I know it sounds silly to some people, but I got a lot of tattoos done to cover the scars.
Wow.
And plus, they change what I looked like. And the more I changed what I looked like, the more I felt like someone else, like I wasn't that person that I was as a child.
Wow. That is really cool.
Yeah.
That is an amazing thing to say and open up to. Did you consciously want to change your physical appearance, or did you find that changing your physical appearance started to make you feel better? Like, was it one or the other?
Basically, I was on the streets, and I was found by a guy who actually got me into the gym. He let me train in his gym, and I realized the more I changed my body, the more I looked different. And then I thought, right, what can I take the next step to make myself look different, because I want to be so far away from that little boy that I was. Mm-hmm. And I started getting a tattoo, and I realized the more tattoos I got, the more and more different it actually made me look. Mm. And the better I felt for it, to be honest.
Wow.
And
so you built your body, you put tattoos on it, and you became somebody else.
You rebirthed.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a phoenix.
Yeah.
As we always say in Ireland, like a phoenix from the flames, I was just reborn as a totally different person.
See, I wish Americans had that kind of poetry, Sam. It's always like, we're like, yeah, you got up again. You got off a horse, you got up again. They're like the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, so Chris, did you have siblings growing up?
Yeah. I've got brothers and sisters, and to be truthfully honest, I only really speak to two of my sisters. I don't really have connections with the rest of my family, so.
Yeah, but.
Pretty much on my own with them.
Now, so the abuse at home, obviously there was physical abuse if you had scars to show for it. So who was the culprit here? Was that your father?
No, it was a friend of the family. Come on, a lot of people always ask me, because I'm from Ireland, they think that it was drink-related.
Yeah.
Because they put the Irish and drink together,
right.
But it wasn't. No, it was just it was a friend of the family, which is very, very, very abusive. I think the only word I can use really is evil, and that's going to an extent. Like, I very rarely use that word.
Wow.
Right.
But that's how far I would take it.
And was anyone intervening, or didn't someone not know, or were you just kind of trapped as a child in this?
Basically, my sister had a fair idea. Things were happening because things were happening to her too. And then it took me until I was actually 18 before I was brave enough to go and seek out police help and actually do something about it.
So, when
I was 13, that's when I stood up and I made it stop. Like, I fought back.
Right.
And then at 15, then I left home. I left home before I left school. And I was basically safer couch surfing or staying with friends or sleeping on the street or sleeping in garages or wherever I could.
Just get away from that guy.
It's safer. Yeah, it was just safer.
Wow.
How did he have access to you guys?
Basically, it's a really messed up situation. We truly believe that my father and my mother knew about it the whole time.
Yeah, that's hard not to know, I would think.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things. It's like they must have knew about it.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't have done the things he'd done if they didn't know about it.
Wow.
You know, I mean, if your bedroom's beside your parents' bedroom, yeah, and a guy can come into your bedroom at night, then how does your parents not hear
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and also, you know, see the scars and notice their child changing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, because, like, I became very quiet and secluded,
yeah,
and whenever I got the main scar, which is on my back, my parents lied and said that I fell off a skateboard and did that, and they used to cover up things, so obviously they knew.
So, wow. So why did they allow this to go on? I mean,
that's
a question for
that is the biggest question I've had my whole life. Yeah.
Do you think maybe he paid them or something?
No. I think people don't want
to
interfere.
To be honest, they were just as bad as what he was, because, like, I haven't spoken to them in years. Basically, like, I don't have any connections with them.
Right.
And they were, like, I know my father was a very violent person too.
Yeah, so, I mean, what did they gain out of this? By
some
going
people
along
are passive, some people are evil, some people are it's something.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
you can't. We can't comprehend this, because in no shape or form would the three of us or listeners ever allow anything like this to happen. But some people are insane. I'm reading the newspaper right now, and a teenager's texting another teenager to commit suicide, and he does. People are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are evil.
You don't know what's wrong with people's heads, like, yeah, to be truthfully honest, and the things that they're thinking and what drives them. I think, to be honest, it's like a power type thing. You know, it's like being able to, like, sort of own someone. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like, literally have them scared of you, or,
right,
and I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
I think
being
it was just
a
constant power trip.
Ugh, power. That can be the worst thing in the world.
And especially around kids, you know, they're so susceptible to all this.
Oh, I mean.
And it's like you mess up their minds for life, right?
Yeah,
your soul.
And also, I don't understand how, I mean, Chris, how you trust anymore, because that's like the basic parenting is of someone's parent. I mean, that basic trust comes from parents. So how do you trust anyone?
I don't really. I always say to everybody, like, I want to know what that normal life is. Like, what I'm doing right now is, like, with my acting and stuff like that there and all, my past has helped me do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's made me be able to connect with some characters that I probably could never connect with.
Sure.
Wow.
But, like, I'm applying for my visa to come and work in the States, and that, to be honest, being in America has been a dream of mine ever since I was a tiny kid. I'm obsessed with everything American.
Really?
I just always thought that's rash. Yeah.
There's
everybody
nothing like America, I'm telling you.
It's like football as in soccer.
Uh-huh.
And I was more like not American football.
Really?
I love basketball, hockey. Uh-huh. Just I always felt like my place was in America.
Wow.
Probably.
And then I get this opportunity to come over, and I'm actually just trying to get my visa sorted.
Right.
And the visas, it costs a lot of money, and that's the type of thing a family should stand by you and help you with. But I'm having to do it myself.
Wow.
Because I have no one to turn to. But I'm used to that.
Yeah.
I'm getting used to it. And I do say to people, I wish that I had a normal relationship, just normal family, where I could ring them and go, hey, I'm going to America. I'm doing great things. I've been, you know what I mean? I'm doing unbelievable things. And some of them would be there to be proud of me. But I don't need my parents to be proud of me. I've got my partner.
Yeah, actually, there you go.
My fiance, she's proud of me. So.
There you go.
I need to know two things. One, how you got into acting, and two, how you met this phenomenal woman who is the one who contacted us. Tell us about which one is easier to talk about.
Claire, what happened was in 2011, I got attacked. I got beaten and robbed. And
Jesus.
It was just after, I just literally got my first proper job, and I was making good money. And I bought a brand new car, and I was coming out of the bank, and I put money in like a satchel kind of bag.
Oh my God.
And I got jumped by six fellas, and they beat me and pretty much left me for dead. They left me that badly beaten physically.
Yeah, because
I was just bleeding. I was bleeding out on the floor.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And then I suffered agoraphobia. I couldn't leave the house.
Sure.
I was terrified to leave the house. And one of my friends, he kept coming around to see me and trying to get me to leave, and it just wasn't working. So he decided to bring his sister around to try and talk to me.
I bet his sister was named Claire. Was that Claire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. After about 6 months, she done a deal with me. She said, right, listen, if you leave the house, I'll let you take me on a date. And I went, that'll do.
That's amazing.
That's so cute.
The first time actually getting out of the house. So
you know,
it was quite
wow.
Oh,
Yeah. You know, as I'm looking here, I'm saying you would be the last person I try to rob. I mean, you know, the way you look and everything. And yeah, but then you said six people jumped you. That explains it, you know.
It's in Northern Ireland. You see what they do, like, they come up. It's the usual. Like, they come up from behind. Uh-huh. And one hit me in the back of the legs with a crowbar. And the other one hit me in the side of the head with a hammer.
Oh, my hammer. Oh, my God.
That's what that fractured my skull, broke my eye socket, and pretty much knocked me unconscious. And then they pretty much just jumped on my head, on my skull with their feet, and stole all my money and ran off.
Did they ever catch these guys?
Yeah, they got two of them arrested. But like, as I say, the way things are in Northern Ireland, it's, you kind of just don't speak about these things.
Yeah, right.
You just let it kind of go.
Yeah, I was going to say, Northern Ireland isn't the, I mean, there's some rough parts, you know, that can be a hard place to be, right?
Yeah. Well, it was my stupidity. Like, when I left home, I shouldn't have went back to where I grew up, but I did.
I see.
And when I went back and I had a nice car and nice clothes and stuff, it must have just annoyed a lot of people.
Wow.
And I didn't mean to do it, but I was just coming out of the bank, just normally living my life, and jealous people got jealous and realized I had something they could have, so they took it.
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow, that's terrible.
I mean, it's a story that is like, unbelievable, because you know what I'm thinking? If it's true that people like come here for a certain reason and stuff, you sure pick the, you know, a tough life for yourself, you know, if like spiritually speaking. But you've weathered a lot of adversity, and it's amazing. So the bottom line is, you're gonna come to America. Tell us about some of your work as an actor. I see you've been in several films and stuff.
I've done 23.
Yeah, he's done 23 films
in 13 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what happened? Yeah. How did you find acting? I mean, I know it wasn't an arts education you were having in a nice private school
me. Yeah.
I mean, right?
And it didn't fall into your lap either, I'm sure.
No,
well,
not,
let's find out.
Yeah.
It kind of did fall into my lap in one way. I went to an event, and the late Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Golden Globe nominee. I met him, and Richard was doing signings of autographs, and I wanted his autograph, and he doesn't really speak to people at events, and I was told, listen, he probably won't speak to you, so I went to speak to him anyway, and we got talking, and we ended up, he closed down his autograph signing and spoke to me for 3.5 hours.
Whoa.
Told me a lot about himself. I told him a lot about myself, and basically he told me that he's seen something in me that the moment I walk in their room, I command attention. Whoa. There's just something that I have, and I should really take up acting.
Whoa.
So about 2 weeks later, I seen an ad on Facebook for a job, and I mailed the guy, and I was like, yeah, can I apply for the role of Craig in your film Flicker? And he was like, yeah, could you do me a self-tape? I was like, oh, of course I can do you a self-tape. Yeah, the minute I sent the email, I thought, I don't even know what a self-tape is.
I was going to say, I bet you don't know what that industry talk is. Yeah.
No. So I had to look online, and then I did the lines that he sent me. And when I sent it back, he said, Chris, listen, you're that good. I want you for the lead role. And I was like, what?
Damn it. This guy just hit the jackpot.
I did the lead role, and I got obsessed. It was like, and it was just a feeling I've never felt before. It was unbelievable. So after that, I just kind of applied for work, and people started coming to me then straight away, just from word of mouth, just talking, asking me to be in their films. And I'd done like 5 films in 4 weeks.
Jesus.
Where I was jumping from one set to another, to another.
So it just came flooding in. When you opened the gates, it like literally flooded.
It came flooding in.
Wow. So this is what you're destined to do, man.
But isn't it weird? Because I tried to open the
gates. So, because...
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
sorry
ahead.
There. It was the fact that, like, I always thought bodybuilding was my calling in life. I always thought, right, this is it. This is what I'm meant to do in life. And there's one thing I'd say to anybody listening right now is, if you feel there's something that you're meant to do in life, but you're still not fulfilled, then that's not what you're meant to do.
Mm.
Because bodybuilding was my thing. Whether I got sick, I got and anything at all, no matter what happened to me in life, I always went back to bodybuilding. But the moment I found acting, it was like a total different feeling. It was like, no, this is it. This is what I'm meant to do. And the fact that I've done like 23 jobs in 13 months kind of, it proves to me for once, like, right, this is it. This is what you're meant to be doing in your life.
You feel sated. You feel satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want, well, I wouldn't say satisfied because I just want more.
Yeah, right.
But satisfied as in the first time, I totally get what you mean. Like, I'm satisfied in the first
like
time.
Like, content, maybe, you know.
I feel like me, like, you know what I mean? I feel like this is me, this is who I am now.
Yeah.
I'm actually somebody.
Yeah.
I'm actually somebody now. I actually exist.
Wow.
Which is a weird feeling.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's weird, too, that he feels like he exists by playing other characters.
Right.
Psychologically, that's really interesting that, like, the freedom to try and be other characters led him to be himself, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, like people say to me about acting, they go, Chris, you say here you could do any role. We could give you any role possible. Right, what if we done to you what they did to Mark Wahlberg? What if we put you in space by yourself? That's the character you have to play. How could you do that? You've never been to space before.
Right.
Well, I've been alone before.
Yeah.
I've lay in the streets. I've been alone. I've been secluded. I've been on my own. I know that feeling. So as much as I don't like it, I can repress those feelings and kind of bring them out in my performance.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And to be honest, casting directors like a lot in L.A. that I've noticed, just in case you're interested in Los Angeles, I don't know if you like L.A., but in L.A. is everybody wants the most authentic person. So if you come in there and you're like, hey, I'm from Belfast and I got attacked and I live on the streets and I grew up and did this my own, you will be like flies to a honey. I mean, everybody
I'm
will go to you.
That. I am truly hoping that. Like, I'm coming to L.A. now. If everything goes well, as I say, like, things for me haven't been easy.
Right,
You know, just even reading McClare's sent.
Right.
When my life hasn't been easy. But because the fact that I've had to do so many unpaid jobs just to get the credits up.
Sure.
I don't make a lot of money, so the visas, like, kill me. I'm selling personal items.
Wow.
Like, really personal items, like things that, like, mean a lot to me, like my grandfather's chain that was passed down to me when I was a tiny kid, one of the only things I have from family that actually meant anything.
Right. Well,
Have
you tried a GoFundMe account?
I don't really know much about that.
Okay, I'll talk off the air with you.
Yeah, it's crowd.
I don't really like asking people either.
Yeah, type
of things.
Okay,
but if I can get me funding up for my visa, I would land in L.A. In July for the show done by Len Davies, who's an amazing director. The show is actually called Emergency LA, starring, now this is where it got me, this put hairs on the back of my head, just went boom. It's starring Kurt Angle, the WWE Hall of Famer superstar, like,
wow.
That to me is just unbelievable.
That's awesome.
He's got Devon Dudley on the crew from WWE, he's got Katrina Waters on there from WWE, it's just unbelievable.
That's
like,
awesome.
That to
it
me
looks like
is
a cool.
Like,
yeah, it looks like a good project.
Slap in the face to try and make them sound real.
Yeah.
Well, this is cool. So Emergency LA is where we're going to be able to see you?
Yeah, it's going to be, I'll be playing Officer Daniel Flynn. It'll be filming throughout the summer. And I'm pretty sure Len said he's hoping for the first episode to air around December. Also, as well, I have been chosen for another project in LA, which I have signed an NDA, so I can't really speak much about it. But the only thing I can give away is that it's going to be a major horror movie being shown worldwide, cinemas worldwide, and I've been chosen for the lead actor.
Wow.
In that.
That is awesome. It's so funny when you start saying things like NDA, you're talking industry, man. It's crazy. You sound like a freaking LA guy.
He has to talk the talk.
I'm so proud,
right?
But he was gone from this crazy life to like, yeah, I'm signed an NDA to lead in an episodic sitcom. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, Chris Toretto, we want to thank you. Tell people how they can find you, how they can contact you.
If anybody in LA is looking for an actor who is diverse, I am one of a kind. I can bring anything. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of character you give me. I'm on IMDb. You can IMDb me at imdb.me/Chris Toretto. You can find me at Chris Toretto on Facebook. And I'm also, my email address, in case anybody wants to get in contact, is Chris Toretto, which is ChristoretTO. 87@gmail.com, and that's the best way for anybody to get in contact with me at the moment.
Sounds good.
And as I say, I'll be, if everything goes well with my visa, if I can get my sponsor up and I can get my money and my funding, I'll be in LA in July.
Sounds good. And you can come and join us in the studio, huh?
Yes.
when you are.
That would be absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. So we'll pray to the visa gods that you actually are able to come here. And it's all
fantastic.
I remember being on the other side of the border, let's say, when I wanted to come to America so bad.
That's right. And that's exactly your story, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but...
I mean, not the whole thing, but I'm saying trying to get here. Trying to get
exactly, you know, growing up really wanting to go to America. A dream.
Yeah.
Chris Toretto, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, such an inspiration.
All the best to you.
And know that good people are out there, and we love you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Good.
I really do.
Good.
I really do.
Okay, and all the best to your fiance as well.
Yeah, say hi to Claire.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow. Yeah. That is so inspiring.
Yeah.
That is crazy he went through that much. And all of a sudden, he's going to come out in L.A. and make it.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, when people look like that and they have they're really from Belfast and they really slept on the streets, every casting director who's doing any kind of Guy Ritchie film is going to cast him immediately.
Right, right.
It's going to be perfect.
We should have told him about the badass website of Billy Murray.
I'll get in touch with him. You're absolutely
right.
What is it? Hostile.
We
got to.
Yeah, we'll put him together.
Oh my God, that's such a good
because
idea.
Because he fits that so well.
You're absolutely
right.
Great
body,
idea.
You know, badass.
Such a good idea.
You know, and you're right about Chris because he's got this unique look that you don't forget, you know, like The Rock or something.
Exactly.
That's big with a presence, you know?
Yeah, and like you see Danny Trejo, that guy who's in every movie you've ever seen, and he's just got the look with the scar. Those guys are going to cast over and over and over again and make millions of dollars.
Right.
So it's like I hope he does well. I'm praying for him.
And they act as themselves in all the movies, you know?
All I want to see, unless I do like seeing The Rock being really gentle. Like I like when he does like daddy movies. Those are fun.
That's probably what he's like in real life.
He's a teddy bear.
That's
when I said
I'm
the
saying.
Last thing about We Love You, he's a teddy bear. Most of the guys in tattoos and big muscles, they are teddy bears.
I know, right?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, bikers are some of the kindest people I've ever met.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. So a lot happening in the world. This headline was interesting. If you want more sex, you should get better sleep.
Oh, I saw that and thought of you.
Really? And if you want better sleep, have more sex. Really? You thought about me?
Well, because I was like,
I'm oversexed.
No, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I should bring that up.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I guess because what are they saying scientifically? You're just more well rested, or what?
They're saying they're saying the number one reason that women blame for loss of desire is being tired.
Oh, okay. So this is probably also, imagine after kids, this is a huge thing.
Right. You're like tired all the time.
And being tired does not make one feel sexy at all.
Right.
I have a hard time being tired and sexy.
That's true, right?
Very hard.
Who wants to do anything, really, when you're tired?
I want to watch The Leftovers and eat too much.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're saying also that the sexual activity and an orgasm, then it releases oxytocin, I guess.
Oxytocin.
And which makes you like relaxed and everything.
Yeah, so oxytocin.
You know, and that helps you go to sleep.
Yeah, you see when guys and, you know, ladies and men and ladies and men, whenever it's over, it's schlaffy time.
Yeah,
it's time to go schlaffy.
They call it the cuddling.
Now, scientists have said, I've read a gene about this. You ready about this?
Yeah.
That the cuddling is, the oxytocin is released to make us sleepy and drowsy to initiate us to cuddle together to sleep.
Right.
And then bond a mother and father.
Right.
So that's why we're supposed to cuddle. Like, we're supposed to scientifically cuddle.
Oh,
so our partnership becomes stronger.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the cuddle hormone, oxytocin.
Yeah. I think it's like ecstasy. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not funny. Oxycontin is a drug that's similar. And
yeah, the Oxycontin.
Is very addictive and
right.
has created an enormous.
That's a pain pill, though.
Very bad problem.
Right.
Yeah. In a lot of places.
No, but orgasms are good for you, folks.
Everybody.
So.
If you have a headache, they're good for you.
Yeah.
If you don't have a headache, they're good for
you. They're good for you, right? I mean, think about it. This is one, an amazing pleasure that nature gave us, and it's free.
I don't think anyone's not having orgasms or not wanting them.
Right. So it's something that nature gave us that's very pleasant. It's free. We don't have to ask anybody for permission, and it frees a person, I think. It liberates a person.
Mm.
When you're able to, like, you know, I mean, pleasure yourself, whether it's with a partner or alone, you're liberating yourself.
Whoa,
you're able to claim your sexuality and say, hey, I deserve to feel this pleasure.
Wow, you know? That was really deep.
Is it deep?
I guess.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You know that I had my Kabbalistic map done over the weekend.
Oh, how was it?
By Tsiona. It's pretty amazing, although we only talked about me for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, and the rest we just had like really deep conversations about the universe, about God, about Kabbalah.
But did you hear anything that was new or for you?
Well, all she promised me is I'm going to have two very tough years.
Oh my God, no!
No, but look, the funny, let me tell you what's funny about it.
I would be like, no. I get him a map back.
No, but she says it depends on how you deal with it. You know, it's just the years of testing you, really. Like,
I see.
And
I've been tested for 10
years. Yeah. And there was some personal things I don't want to bring up.
Sure.
But she had me figured out pretty much. And she says, you know, the hardest time in my life was in my early 30s. Mm. And she says, you're pretty much going to have something like that.
Oh,
I'm like,
Jesus.
Fuck that.
Oh, my God. Dude, I would have been like, I'm out of here.
Kids and got divorced. And discovered I had bipolar disorder.
Jesus.
And had to close my business because I was getting too angry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would have been like, bye, Felicia.
But no, I mean, look, we're talking, what now, 27 years later. Well, let's say 20 years later. Here I am. I think I've learned a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Someone's come up on
and
top.
And the thing is, those lessons don't end. I mean, until you conquer it, it's not going to leave you, you know? So I need to know how to learn and deal with this shit.
So did she give you any help on that aspect? Because that would have been really helpful.
Well, but that's the thing, is that she tells you, look, if you do it this way, this is what's going to happen. If you do it this way, that's what's going to happen. So maybe, like, for example, if she sees that there might be, like, a conflict in the family or something, mm-hmm. right? Over money, over anything, which makes sense because, you know, my parents might could pass pretty soon, or at least my dad. So I anticipate something like that happening. So she says it depends on how you react to it, how you're going to deal with it, whether you're learning your lesson or whether you're going
to
move on.
I mean, it's really good to kind of have the heads up. I mean, if this kind of comes out, there's nothing wrong with being ready when something happens. Yeah, like being prepared.
All it is like she's advising you like a psychologist or something.
Yeah, but just in the future.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, we're all living, like when you go to your regular therapist, you're also dealing with your future, with how you're going to deal with
yourself. That is a mic drop.
Right?
That is a very good point, Sam.
You know, so it's the same thing. But then we had discussions. But the interesting thing is this. So she's Jewish, like I am and you. But she's from Israel. She's very spiritual. I mean, if you saw some of the pictures, she's got like huge pictures that she painted.
She seems like an incredibly
very
spiritual person.
Yeah, you need to go there.
I felt the energy immediately.
Yeah. So we're there, and then her husband walks in, into the kitchen to get something. And she introduced us, and he says, I don't really agree with what she does.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, what do you think she does? He says, well, telling the future and everything. I said, well, you know, I didn't come here to be told about my future. I said, this sort of like makes me aware of things in my life about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it's like...
For you, it's more like therapy, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, look, she brought up anger. And the thing is that is definitely my lesson in life.
Is anger.
Is how to deal with anger, you know? And
good for you to be open about that.
Yeah, and I've mellowed out over the years, you know. But let me tell you, it makes sense because if I was like, if my soul decided it's going to take on like a bipolar disorder to test me, then that's a pretty good fucking way to do it.
Yeah, and also, you know, when Pema talks about reincarnation, we'll talk about that later, but you know, each time you get further to the obstacle, you are as close to anger when you're dealing with bipolar as anyone can be. Mm. So you are as close to conquering that.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't be fighting a bigger lion. You
know
what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
It like could have started many centuries ago of you just being like a little mad, and now you're at the very end.
Right.
So you're in
you have
heat.
Like a big rival.
You have
you know?
A huge rival. It's David Goliath.
Yeah.
So in some respects, that's like you should feel good that you can at least acknowledge that I'm going to conquer this.
Right, right.
That's really awesome.
And really, and I'm grateful I've lived this long so far that I'm able to still have the privilege of, you know, of learning these lessons and and responding and reacting differently.
And notice that you not only have conquered bipolar by acknowledging it, you're now using your only occupation is to voice that to other people, helping others. That is when the reincarnation starts to really shift.
I hope so. I hope so. Maybe that's why I was meant to be on the radio.
Yeah, because imagine you're not even just doing it for you. Now you're showing compassion and trying to tell everybody.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a bad place to be, Tori. Let me tell you. I mean, I was at those days where I'm talking about where, like, that was like suicidal times. Sure. I was thinking of suicide. I never attempted.
Sure.
But it was tempting at the time.
I know a lot of people with depression and bipolar, and it's the only disease, I say, that makes you not want to cure itself. You become so paralyzed, then not want to find a cure.
That's true. You just want to kill yourself. You just want to end. You hate yourself.
Right. It's the only disease that you're not hopeful for a cure. It's bizarre. It's as if you're squished into a black hole.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's Churchill called it the black dog. He had it.
Yeah. And you can tell when someone describes it correctly that they've had it.
Right.
Right. So Pema was like, my teacher, Chungun Trungpa Rinpoche, which you don't have to say three times. Her teacher was described depression in such a way. And she said she started to cry because she realized only someone who has gone through this. He talked about being in a room and the ceiling comes down further and further and further and it gets darker and darker. And he talked in such a sort of poignant way that she thought only someone who has gone through this can describe it this way.
Wow.
So it's a compassionate thing because it shows as soon as someone says, I've been there like you, it's compassionate. You know what I mean? The second you say, I'm just like you, that's what humans are supposed to do.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
So the story with her husband was that we ended up having a huge conversation.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I found him to be not very forthcoming as far as smiling or being personable.
He wasn't really
or anything.
Effusive.
He was, exactly.
A little cold.
And sort of like had his guard up and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were talking and he was, he's a Christian Baptist and...
What is she and he doing together?
I know.
Now, remember the conversation you and I had about those three things I always said? It doesn't be the same, but if you're on the same page.
Right.
And one of those was religion.
Religion.
And it doesn't mean that they can't be together and happy, but they don't seem to be on the same page because he doesn't like what she's doing.
Right, but I mean, they've been together for a long time.
Wow,
they've got kids together.
Crazy,
right?
Christian Baptist.
To ask her.
Wow,
how do you guys get along?
But how did they get
together? But she says when we get into these conversations, I end up telling them, okay, you're right, and we end the conversation.
Well, that's not good.
No, but you know, but he reads a lot, but she reads a lot too.
Yeah, she seems very educated.
And it's cool to talk to people that are very well read. I mean, he had a lot of books on everything, science, God, and stuff, just like me, you know?
So he was curious.
It was a weird conversation because you're talking to someone who's really, you feel, trying to intimidate you in the conversation. That's how I felt.
Now, let me ask you a question. What I'm picturing, and I've been studying more nonverbal cues in behaviors because I'm a nerd and I find that fascinating. Yeah. Were you seated and he was standing when he was telling you this?
No, we were both standing.
Both standing. Okay, because sometimes I feel like... Yeah, so he... Okay, got it. Sometimes I was just trying to picture this. Because it is intimidating to interrupt someone's session and then say that.
Right. No. He didn't interrupt the session, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was... we were taking a break, whatever. Oh, we
good.
Were standing
good,
up.
Good.
And then he came in and...
Well,
yeah,
you know, that's really interesting that he has that opinion.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we had a big conversation about God and science and all that stuff and religion. So
that's awesome.
I know. So it's been coming up. And ever since then, it's like everybody that comes on the show, I'm like,
I know.
What do you think about God?
My favorite was your Facebook post when you're like, God, yes or no? And I was like, that's hilarious.
Okay, that's a conversation starter. But at any rate, all it did is got me yes and no.
I know. I was like, that is too short of a sentence.
I know. I was trying to stimulate conversation.
I think it was great. I mean, stuff like that's always fun.
Yeah, I know. So, at any rate, folks, we're totally out of time. We want to thank Chris Toretto for joining us.
His whole life was, I thank him for surviving to teach us a cool, inspirational lesson.
Yeah. He just sent us a message on Skype saying, thank you so much for having me. So, it was a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening. As always, it's always a pleasure to serve you right here on LA Talk Radio on this show.
Yes.
And... That's it. So tomorrow you'll be out again?
Yes, but we'll Friday. Okay, I have no idea why I'm screaming, but
that's okay.
I'm very excited for Friday.
Oh, but before that, we'll see you at
Comedy
Thursday,
Store.
Tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, 8:30.
So I'm going to stalk you there.
You're so good. It's called Pretty Funny Women.
Okay, I've heard of it.
Yeah, and it's and everyone's pretty and very funny, and you know.
You can't be that.
You can't.
You can't. If you're a horny guy and you like comedy, you can't beat that. And on that
you sound
note,
like
folks,
Trump. You can't beat it. You can't. You can't.
I know. I never tried to do him before. Anyway. Anyway, maybe I don't need to.
Nope.
He won't be around for too long.
Amen.
All right. Let's anyway, as president, that is.
That's right.
Okay, everybody. Take care and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.